Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
The Men's Room Podcast from TalkSport is proudly sponsored by Toolstation. If, like me, you love a little deal, then you can join the Toolstation Club today online, in-store or via the app, and you will save some money getting a 5% discount shopping with Toolstation, as well as a chance to get your hands on some fantastic prizes, such as TVs, gaming consoles, and even holidays. If you keep spending, you'll keep on saving. That's the Toolstation Club, so make sure you join today, online, in-store or via the app. A Bosch.
Hello everyone, I'm Adi Oladipo and welcome once again to the Men's Room, a podcast where we talk about all things men. You guessed it right. Joining me as always, my sidekick, Mr. Rory Jennings.
Honoured.
Honoured. It's really good, isn't it? This is really good fun.
It's really good fun. I'm looking forward to this one as well.
This one's going to be interesting because this one is all about masculinity.
It taps into very much who I am. This is my raison d'etre.
This is you, innit?
This is you,
yeah.
This rugged and manly.
Yeah, oh, really?
Yeah. Well, compared to the average fella now, I am.
You think so?
Definitely.
Well, we'll find out because I think the guy that we're going to speak to now might just have a different viewpoint on that after about 40 minutes. Let's welcome in Jack Irwin, a man who wrote a fantastic book called Surviving Modern Masculinity. Jack, really appreciate you coming on. This is an interesting subject because I've been following a guy that I'm probably sure you've heard of called Jordan Peterson.
Oh, yes.
Yes, yeah. And he's very much into sort of men just being men. And I've been listening to him for the last sort of 4 or 5 years, and I find him fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's an interesting viewpoint he has. I'm very much kind of from the opposite thought, which is that we don't really need to be men so much anymore.
Ooh.
And, you know, I'm all for men kind of being men, you know, doing what you want to feel masculine. But I think ultimately there is kind of, you know, we will probably get into this, some sort of toxicity associated with a lot of modern masculinity. And I think it's, you know, it's causing a great deal of harm to men and to women, to everyone, truly. You know, we can look at rates of, you know, take a look at suicide rates, the difference between men and women. You know, men are significantly more likely to end their own lives. And there's a whole variety of reasons for that, you know, being that we don't open up about our emotions. We kind of push things down until it's too late. Unfortunately, there's also kind of evidence that when suicide is attempted, men tend to choose more violent means because of this kind of idea of reclaiming a sense of masculinity. And so I'm of the boat that, you know, we need to actually kind of push back against some of this, this kind of toxic masculinity and say, you know, it's okay for men to talk. It's okay for us to, you know, not be super masculine all the time. It doesn't change who we are, but it can be, you know, profoundly helpful to all of society if we actually start to think about why we behave this way and, you know, maybe make some changes to that.
Jack, can I ask, you know, the stats that you mentioned there, they're obviously very important to acknowledge, but were they the same numbers? Like, were males more likely to commit suicide? Were the means chosen more violent previously when masculinity was perhaps more necessary, more normal? Because if it was the same then this is just a man thing and actually nothing to do with any changes in society, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't actually have the statistics historically. I think our recording of them in such a way doesn't actually go that in depth into the past. But I do know that as long as we have been keeping an eye on this, men have significantly outnumbered women in suicides. it may be something that has kind of always been in men, but we also know that suicide has been on the rise for everyone over the last 20, 30 years. And, you know, as we've all seen, you know, getting through this pandemic, mental health is, you know, a real issue for everyone right now, but it's still men who are struggling the most to address it and to take the steps they need to get better.
You mentioned modern masculinity at the top there. What is that? What does that sort of encompass? Are we talking about a generation? So from, I don't know, sort of the 80s, or are you going further back? What do you mean by modern masculinity?
I have kind of looked at masculinity pretty much over the last 100 years and traced it from kind of the two world wars, which were a very interesting period for men. You know, we had so many men going off and fighting, so many men dying, coming back either, you know, horrifically injured physically or suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. Of course, we didn't know the term post-traumatic stress disorder until I think about 15, 20 years after the end of the Second World War. And so I've kind of looked at how it shaped the subsequent generations from them, sort of through my own family history. My grandfather fought in the Second World War in Italy. He, you know, by all accounts, came back completely scarred by what he had seen, and was very unable to show emotions, to show love. And so my dad grew up believing that, you know, the right way to be a man is to be this kind of very stiff upper lip. Don't talk about your feelings. Don't talk about anything. Just push it down. And so perhaps not surprisingly, he died when I was 9 of a heart attack. In the weeks that followed, the post-mortem revealed that he had scar tissue on his heart from previous heart attacks, and we had found over-the-counter angina medication in one of his jacket pockets, which none of us, not his kids, not my mum, knew anything about. So it became clear that he had kind of been self-medicating for some sort of heart issues, but never went to see a doctor about it, never opened up to any of his family about it, because he just thought the right thing to do was, you know, get on with it, not seek help. And so obviously that in its own way had a kind of profound effect on me growing up. Like I said, I was 9 when he died. And for the longest time, I kind of embodied a lot of how he had been raised. I thought, you know, like, I don't need to talk about this. It's fine. My dad's dead, whatever. Just get on with it. And it was only kind of like later in my teens, early 20s, when I was going through a pretty rough period of depression, and I started to actually talk about this with some friends and how I was feeling. And I realized, this is crazy. Why am I pushing all of this stuff down? Why am I unable to talk about these things? Like, it's clearly had a massive effect on me. So I started to kind of look into masculinity a bit more then. That's when I started writing my book. And it just became apparent that generations over generations, you know, particularly in the wake of the two world wars, had really kind of been taught to repress their emotions and just, you know, be a man. And I wanted to kind of challenge that. But yeah, I think generationally, it's, you know, it's a huge change. You know, what my dad thought was a man, and now what I think is a man today, after kind of having re-examined some of this, are very different. And yeah, I would say I have noticed a real change in masculinity kind of in the 20 years since my dad died, you know, both in how I process things, and I think how we deal with things in a society. You know, when I was that age, and after it happened, there wasn't any kind of counseling offered through my school, no mention of therapy. I don't think we knew anyone who had therapy at that time. And so we think, you know, masculinity and mental health, we made great leaps in both of those. And now it's kind of, it's not so much of a stigma for men to talk about getting help, for seeing a therapist. And so I think we are kind of entering a new age in that respect. But we also have the pushback from that, which is some men saying, okay, like, you know, if this is what these men are going to do, I am going to take it so far in the opposite direction. I'm going to be hyper-masculine. I'm going to embody all of those kind of ideals of violence and toxic masculinity, because I don't know, it's whenever you get any kind of social progress, that does tend to be a backlash against it. So I think we're seeing masculinity kind of going in two directions right now. And one
Can't both coexist, Jack? Can't both coexist? Obviously, not the violence, obviously, but, you know, so you get those hyper-masculine men, but you also get men that are okay and happy to talk about therapy and mental health. With that, I was going to ask you about the phrase man up. You know, it's something that I remember in school, you know, 20 years ago, you know, PE, whatever, you'd actually hear the PE teacher say, man up. It was a phrase. Do you think that phrase still has a place in society? Do you think it's a phrase that some men still need to hear?
I don't think it is. I think it's, as you say, it's something that we're told from a very early age, and I think it has a pretty strong effect on us. And it's often kind of used to, you know, silence crying children, say, you know, boys don't cry, man up. And I think, you know, trying to push this idea of masculinity on boys and young men is part of why we have a kind of society where men do feel unable to open up, and why they feel like the correct response to you know, fears or anxieties is to react in violent ways. So it's kind of, yeah, I don't really like the phrase. I think, you know, it maybe served a purpose 20, 30 years ago when we didn't give too much consideration about what it was doing to the people we told it to. But I'm kind of, you know, sure, man up. But again, I think we need to talk about the harm that that causes and the kind of the false ideals of masculinity that it tends to embody. Because, you know, to view violence is kind of this something to be put on a pedestal, particularly in a country like America.
Would you say that the rise of feminism has created an equal rise in toxic masculinity, where as females have become more, they might say, on an equal playing field with men, that somehow some other men are thinking, okay, we don't want to be on this equal playing field, we're now going to go up another level? Would you say that one sort of increased the other?
Yes and no. I think there are definitely men who have reacted to the rise of feminism that way. They feel under threat. They feel that their role, you know, as a provider and the protector is no longer viable. And so understandably, I think a lot of men kind of push back against feminism because they start to think, oh, there is no place for me in the world. But I think the flip side of that is you have a lot of men who are listening to what women, and particularly feminists, are saying. And particularly in regards to, you know, opening up a bit more, to maybe softening, becoming a little bit gentler, and seeing that this can actually open up a whole world of opportunities for them. You know, your role to your family is whatever you want it to be and whatever you and your partner agree upon. But I think, you know, you can be a fantastic dad who brings, you know, brings in the income for the family and take care of them that way. But I think a lot of men, as feminism has become a kind of stronger movement, as we have seen more and more women in the workplace, and particularly in positions of power in the workplace, more and more men have realized, oh, you know, maybe I don't have to be in these same positions as maybe my father was. Maybe I can be at home with the family more and kind of be more hands-on in that respect. So I think you have some who are going to take feminism as a threat, and you have others who are going to take it as an opportunity. So again, it's kind of, you know, there's these two lines of masculinity, and I think some men do view it as a threat. I personally don't. I think it can be a really wonderful thing for society. I personally would love to be, you know, the primary child carer, for instance. I think that would be a fantastic role to take on. And I say this as someone whose wife makes significantly more money than him. So, you know, maybe that's just kind of the natural order of things for me.
Have you noticed a difference in masculinity in, say, Europe and the US, as opposed to maybe sort of Asia and Africa, where there is still much this men are men and women are women?
Yeah, I haven't done too much study on international masculinity. I've mostly focused on the West, and particularly the UK, the US and Canada, where I'm now living. But there are definitely, in a lot of the world, we still have very kind of focused gender roles. And, you know, it's not necessarily a good thing. It's not necessarily a bad thing. I think it's very interesting in how the West has evolved over the past kind of 60, 70 years, as we have had, you know, the aforementioned equality, more women getting into the workplace. We've kind of reached a point where there's not actually a ton of jobs to go around. You know, there's a lot of unemployment, both male and female. And we, unfortunately, you know, I think I was raised in a very traditional home. My dad went to work. My mom stayed at home and raised me and my siblings until, you know, I was, you know, old enough to be in school. And then my mom went off and did her degree and became a teacher after that. But it was, yeah, it was very traditional in the sense that we had one parent working, one parent at home. And that was great for me. I had a fantastic upbringing. You know, my mom really wanted to be at home looking after me. And she did a brilliant job. And my dad, consequently, he didn't really want to do too much of the hands-on parenting. And so, you know, they had an agreement that he would work, she would stay home. And that worked very well for them. And now what we're seeing is, you know, it's a tough time for a lot of people, financially speaking. You generally have both parents working. So neither of them is able to stay home and, you know, spend as much time with the family as they would like. And we're still, you know, we're still able to afford kind of only what we could 20, 30 years ago on a single family income. So I think there is a kind of a problem that has arisen from these gender roles kind of balancing out, which is that now everyone is working and no one is able to, you know, look after the family as, you know, as diligently as they might like. And so we're working to pay the childcare. And so I think we need to kind of, I'm not saying we need to get back to an idea of man go to work, woman stay home, but I think we need to kind of look as a society at how we can kind of address that and say, okay, well, you know, it would be great if you have one parent working and one parent at home, or, you know, both parents working part-time, both parents at home part-time. And so I think, you know, looking at countries where it is still very much the man goes to work, the woman stays home, it works in a way that we're kind of struggling with in Western society right now.
Jack, I want to give you some examples. I want your thoughts on these. These are examples of toxic masculinity that we've seen online. The first one is, if you cry in front of your woman, she will lose all respect for you.
That's funny. I've cried in front of my wife maybe once in our relationship. And it's something that, you know, she's a big crier. She is very emotional, very in her feelings. Like that's great for you. You know, we'll be watching a movie. We'll get 10 minutes in. I look over and she's bawling. And I joke with her about it. I maybe mock her a little too much for it. But I, because of how I was raised and because of, you know, what I was sort of taught to embody as a man, I don't really cry. It's something that I would like to cry more, honestly. You know, the few times I have in recent memory, it's been this kind of really cathartic kind of cleansing things like, oh, I feel good after a cry, but mostly it doesn't come. If I'm super sad, if I'm, you know, really exhausted, it's still kind of, you know, oh, I feel like a good cry would sort me out right now, but I've kind of lost that ability to cry. So my wife is, she thinks I'm weird because I don't do it. And she would like to see me crying a lot more and just being more emotional in general, but it isn't happening. So I think, you know, maybe some women would lose respect for their man. Most of the women I know, I think, would probably like to see a bit more of that, because I think it kind of, it does open you up a little bit. It makes you just a bit more accessible. And, you know, ultimately, in, you know, these heterosexual relationships, time and again, what I hear is that women would like to, you know, get inside their partner's minds a bit more and kind of know what's going on. And that was, you know, it was a big bugbear amongst my parents. You know, my mum had no idea what my dad was thinking ever. You know, she would ask him and he'd just say, oh, you know, fine. Right up until the day he died. So I think, I think some women may lose respect for you if you cry. I think the vast majority would actually see it as quite an endearing thing.
Can I ask you, this is more of a personal question. Do you think there is a man's role? So within not just society, but within the household, is there a man's role?
I don't know that there is. I think that everyone has a role to play. And I think, you know, the division of labor in our household, you know, my wife will do all of the laundry, for instance. I tend to do pretty much all of the cooking. I love cooking. She doesn't mind doing the laundry in the way that I do. And so it's kind of, you know, those would both have been kind of traditional women's roles. We sort of divided it up a bit again because we both work. You know, you have to kind of take on these things. I personally think a man's role is, you know, it can be whatever he wants to be, as long as there is a kind of level of understanding with him and, you know, whoever his partner may be. You know, I think it's fine to say, all right, I'm going to go out, I'm going to work, I'm going to bring home the money, you can stay home with the kids. But I think that does need to be agreed so there's no resentment amongst you. But, you know, I think in modern society, you know, everyone is working, women, men. And so I think we need to step away from this idea that there is kind of one set role based on your gender or your sex, because I think everyone, unfortunately, needs to kind of step up and do everything. And it means that everyone is kind of quite overworked at the moment. But as I have always thought, you know, I think we need to take this opportunity with more women earning more money. And, you know, in a case like mine, where my wife is the main household earner, I need to step back and say, okay, like, you're making more money than me. You're probably going to continue making more money than me. You can, you know, take care of that side of things a bit more. I'll do a bit more around the house. I don't feel emasculated because of that. I'm just kind of, you know, I'm happy that we are able to make it work, that we don't have to worry too much about, you know, getting food on the table. And for me, that's a much bigger thing in my life than, am I being a man right now? You know, it's, are we surviving? Are we content and happy together?
Jack, really appreciate you coming on. Honestly, it's fascinating. I find this conversation fascinating. Thank you so much. Maybe you can check out Jack's books, Man Up, Surviving Modern Masculinity. Is available now. Great book, and well done, Jack, as well. It's difficult conversations, and I think these conversations need to be had, so really appreciate you coming on.
Really happy to be here, and thanks so much for having me.
Cheers, Jack.
Ta-da.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Men's Room podcast on TalkSport is proudly sponsored by Toolstation. This is your little reminder that you can join the Toolstation Club today online, in-store, or via the app. You might be thinking, why would I sign up? But I'm glad you asked. At Toolstation, if you keep spending, you keep on saving. Signing up means that not only will you get a lovely 5% discount shopping with Toolstation, but there are thousands of prizes to be won. So that's the Toolstation Club, so make sure you join today online, in-store, or via the app.
Interesting to hear there from Jack Irwin. Different viewpoint, I think it's fair to say, from yours?
Yeah, I mean, certainly not the way that I view society at all. I mean, generally speaking, I think you mentioned Jordan Peterson at the beginning of the piece. I would subscribe to that. Yeah, I would subscribe to that. I think it's fair if you've got a relationship where you both go to work, like my wife goes to work, got absolutely, you know, that's fine. But I also do believe that there are traditional roles, and there's also
that's
a traditional.
What I was going to ask you, because I asked him about sort of, is there still a place for men's roles and females, or sort of women's roles, and he said kind of not.
I think there are.
Yeah, I think there are.
There certainly is in my house. There certainly is. There's certain things that it's not about the will to do, it's about the skill to do. I'm terrible at the things that would naturally fall under my wife's jurisdiction.
Such as
if Clementine, my daughter, needs something at 2 a.m.
You can do that, though.
No, I can't. Clementine, I can't. I don't. I honestly, it sounds ridiculous. Firstly, Clementine will demand her mum. So if I go in there, it's only going to cause mayhem. But equally, I can't do a lot of that stuff. You know, that tender...
Can I ask you, can I ask you your view on feminism then?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a full supporter of feminism, okay, but it's not something I think about on a particular, particular regular basis. I mean, my wife would certainly identify as a feminist. She would certainly identify as a feminist. I mean, also my life. I was brought up by my mum and my gran together, and I now live with my wife and my daughter together. I've only ever lived with women. I've never lived with a man.
That's interesting you say that, because that's me as well.
And that's why I feel like there are particular roles.
I've always felt that I was quite, and I was accused of this actually, as being quite soft.
Yeah, I was always very soft as a youngster.
I was always very soft.
But I think I adopted a slightly more brash exterior, perhaps as a reaction. Yeah.
Because as a consequence of that. Yeah.
Living with a mother and a grandmother, but don't get me wrong, we're living in a flat on Kilburn High Road, a mile in the sky, me, my mum, my nan. My mum and my nan certainly had a bit about them. They didn't need a protector. But I say when I got to 15, 16, I was very aware, man of the house sort of thing. And it was my responsibility. And I do believe that certain things do fall in natural, in a kind of natural, old-fashioned order.
It's weird. I felt like my ex sort of tested my masculinity on various occasions. And it's funny, because as I was saying to Jack, and like, you know, if someone knocks on your door, I would expect to go and answer. Yeah. I remember we had an incident where someone was trying to take a washing machine from downstairs.
Right.
And she called me at work and said, someone's trying to take a washing machine from downstairs. And I was like, let them take it. I've thrown it out.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? She's like, no, you need to come. Like, please come. And I was like, what? So I jumped on my motorbike, got there as fast as I could. I'm like, oh my God, I need to protect my wife to be. I got there and I knew the guy that was taking the washing machine. I was like, whoa, take it.
Yeah.
And she was like, no, you've called the council. They can't take it. I was like, oh my God, what are you doing?
Yeah,
like, what's going on right now?
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, is she trying to test my masculinity? Like, what do I do? Do I stand down? Like, so she started screaming from upstairs at the guy downstairs that I know. There's two of them. One's quite a big lump. And I was like, what are you doing? Like, what am I supposed to do now? And I be a protector of the house? I'm like, you know, is this a test? And she started screaming. He then started screaming back up at her.
Oh, they start having an argument.
And I'm like,
puts you in a very awkward position.
I didn't know what to do at this stage. And I was like, yeah, I didn't know what to do. And long story short, I kind of probably got this wrong, but I was like, shut up to her, get out of here to the guys.
Yeah, probably.
She probably got it wrong. Probably. She then went and told someone, he can't protect me.
Yeah.
I mean, and I was like, what, have I failed the test? Have I failed the modern masculinity test?
No, but do you know what this is? This is a similar moment to the conversation that we just had. Picking an extreme example, where like she's got it wrong. she's got it wrong on every level.
Yeah.
Like she's almost started a fight. Like that's really bad form from her.
Very bad.
But that doesn't demonstrate your lack of masculinity. Far from it. Far from it. Also, it's not, I think when people say masculine, they immediately go for that, don't they? It's like, no, bro, that's not it. Being a fellow isn't that. But that's not really what I mean by frowning on masculinity.
What would you say masculinity is?
So even one of those things that you said in that piece where you were talking about crying, would your missus lose respect for you if you were to cry? Yeah. Okay, my wife would 100% not. I know for a fact that she would 100% not.
Okay, but would you 100% do it in front of her?
I would feel comfortable crying at when the situation didn't...
Have you?
Look, God forbid... But my grandmother is 89 and I adore her and I see her all the time.
I adore her too.
I adore her, right? She adores you. She can't say your name, but she does adore you.
Yeah.
Right. But ultimately, hopefully over a decade, one day she dies. And on that day, I am a blubbering wreck. And even thinking about it chokes me. When that happens, yes, I wouldn't feel even slightly concerned about demonstrating passion in front of my missus. A funny cry, for example, like Marley and Me. You seen that film?
Yeah.
You're crying in that. Oh, my Lord, you're crying in that. If I were to cry watching that film with my wife, I'd feel fine. Because one of them's funny and one of them is undoubtedly one of the saddest days of your life, right? Yeah. But what I wouldn't do, and it's not that she would judge me, but I'd judge myself. Pathetic crying. Don't cry because you can't pay the bills. Don't you know that? Like,
I think that's what that was referring to. That there.
Don't cry because you can't handle, because you've had a bad day at the office. So you would
then say, man up.
Yeah, I would. I've got no issue with a term, though.
You've no issue.
I've got no issue with a term. I say the term.
You do. You've said it to me.
I say it to you.
Yeah.
I've got no issue with it. I don't know if it's allowed. I can't keep up with what's allowed anymore. But look, if something tragic happens, if you are involved in a tragedy, cry, of course. If something's funny, Marley and Me, a film called Paulie about a parrot, oh my God, they clip his wings, you're crying, yeah? But you know the other crying. Because you aren't doing what you should do or whatever. Don't do that in front of your missus. And your missus won't lose respect for you, but I would lose respect for myself. I've always been the man of the house. And in my ideal, the way that I see the world, the way that I've been taught to see the world as well, my grandmother, my mother,
and there's men a responsibility. Under threat, do you think?
No, not at all. I don't really understand why. Not at all. I don't really understand why people seem to think that there is this divide. Like, me and my wife, like I said before, far more articulate. We'll meet her on the show one day. Far more articulate than me, far cleverer than me. And
I'd agree with
that. And would certainly identify as a feminist, passionate on that front. Like, my kids, if I showed you my daughter's bookshelf, it's all Emmeline Pankhurst and all that. Like, she's feminist. She's been taught the principles of feminism from a 3-year-old. But it's not something that ever features in our relationship. We don't discuss your responsibility, my responsibility. It's just, I'm a fella, I get up, I go to work, I do what I do. She takes various contracts, so at the moment she's getting up, she's going to work as well. But I have certain things that I fulfil in the house, and so does she. But it doesn't need to be this mad discussion where everybody's trying to, like, understand men and do we need to, like, do we need to have a conversation about what our responsibilities are, and I don't want to stand in your way because you want to go, fuck, just go to work, man. Just shut up and go to work. And man up and pull yourself together.
Man up and pull yourself together, indeed. Well said, Mr. Rory Jennings. All right, look, we've got loads more episodes coming, so make sure you do stay tuned. Make sure as well you download this podcast from wherever you download your podcast from, whether it be Spotify or Apple. Rory, as always, thank you very much.
I need to get more woke.
Yeah. Well, we are in the right area. Hackney Wick, stay around here. Stay around here. And there's a lot of woke places.
I know, I've got the statement socks on as well. That helps, doesn't it? Get me a flat white and a MacBook and I'll be away.
You will be away, indeed. Thanks again.
ToolStation are the proud sponsors of the Men's Room podcast on TalkSport. Join the ToolStation Club today online, in-store or via the app, and you will save some money getting a 5% discount shopping with ToolStation, as well as a chance to get your hands on some fantastic prizes such as TVs, gaming consoles and even holidays. If all that isn't enough, then remember, if you sign up, then you will get loads of exclusive discounts that aren't available anywhere else. That's the ToolStation Club. So make sure you join today, online, in-store, or via the app.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.